This is a reading of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians in the translation known as the Coffee with Paul translation by Dr. Gary D. Collier. Gary offers these initial notes. The following translation is a responsible paraphrase. Literal translations and notes will be offered for selected phrases in the commentary, that is, in the written version of this. 1 Thessalonians. From Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Christ community in Thessalonica, in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace. When we talk to God, we always tell him how thankful we are for all of you, speaking your names in our prayers. We never stop holding up to God how dynamic is your faith, how diligent is your love, and how determined is your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We do this knowing that you are elected. Oh, my dear friends, how loved by God you are. The fact is, our Christ message was presented to you not merely as talk, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and with overwhelming proof. As you know, this was also how we presented ourselves among you and for you. So you, in turn, presented yourselves as committed to our path and the path of the Lord Jesus, in that you received the delivered word with a joy produced by the Holy Spirit, even in the midst of terrible distress from our enemies. In this way, you presented yourselves as an example for all the believers in the regions of Macedonia and Achaia. Like rolling thunder peals, the word of the Lord has echoed out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but wherever we go, your faithfulness to God is already known, so much so that we don't need to say a thing. In fact, on their own, they tell us about what sort of entrance we made into your lives and how you turned to God from the things and objects that people worship, made with human ingenuity and skill, to live your lives in service to the real God who is alive, all the while expecting his Son to come from the heavens, Jesus, the one he has raised from the realm of the dead and who rescues us from the coming wrath. Now, my friends, here is something that you, of all people, are well aware of. A lack of power is not what marked our entrance on the scene of your lives. Hardly that. As you are aware, before we came to you, while we were still in Philippi, we suffered physical abuse and were dreadfully maligned. But despite that, God gave us the courage to speak his Christ message to you right in the middle, as it were, of a great competitive contest. This shows that the message of exhortation we offer does not grow out of trickery, moral squalor, or brazen dishonesty. No, we are empowered to speak the way we do by God himself. He tested us and then approved us to be entrusted with his Christ message. We speak a message that pleases God. He is the one who is testing and approving our hearts. At no time ever did we come to you with speeches that would win you over by flattery, and you know that. Nor did we come under false and greedy pretenses to get your money, and God is our witness on that. Nor were we looking for prestige, not from you and not from anyone else, even though we had the right to demand respect as chosen envoys of Christ. But instead of demanding anything, we came among you with gentleness. Just as a nursing mother lavishes her attention on her own children, so we, due to an overwhelming love for you, had an unrelenting determination to share with you not only God's Christ message, but even our most inner selves, because you were so very dear to us. For you remember, my friends, all the work we did and the hardship we experienced, how all the while we were working night and day so as not to be a financial burden for any of you, we publicly expounded to you God's Christ message. You, above all, are witnesses of this, and so is God, we conducted ourselves devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly among you who were living day by day as believers. You know this, how we treated each one of you as a father treats his own children, exhorting you and cheering you up and urging you with all seriousness to live your life in a way that measures up to the expectations of God, who is calling you into his own kingdom and glory. So for our part, this is why we never stop saying thank you to God, because once you received the word that we openly declared to you, a word that in fact originated with God himself, you did not take it as something conjured up in a back room. You saw it for what it truly is, the word of God, powerfully active in you who are believers. Yes, dear friends, you yourselves committed to the same path as those in the communities of God down in Judea, those devoted to Christ Jesus. The very things you have suffered, even you, at the hands of your own countrymen, are exactly what those dear people had to endure at the hands of certain Judean extremists. Oh, the extremists who slaughtered Jesus, the very Lord, yea, and even the prophets, and who with cruel abruptness forced our departure from you. Before God, they are a disgusting lot, parading their bigotry against every man, woman, and child who is outside their own camp. They make a habit of getting in our face as we reach out to the Gentiles to bring them to a saving faith, a habit that in every case serves to stack up their sins until they are brimming. But God's wrath has come against them and will bring this finally to an end. But as for us, dear friends, we felt like parents who, in a very real sense, had our children ripped away right out of our arms. We could not see your faces, but our hearts dwelled on you every minute. We were simply beside ourselves in our longing to see you. We tried our hearts out to come see you. I, Paul, countless times, but the adversary got in our way. Think about it. When we stand in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his parousia, will you not be our very pride and joy? Will you not embody our hope? You know you will. You are the ones who make us beam with happiness. So when we couldn't stand it any longer, we decided it was better to stay behind in Athens by ourselves and to send Timothy, both our brother and partner for God in the Christ message, yes, of Christ. His mission was to shore you up with a message that would inspire your faith so that none of you would be shaken in the face of these distresses inflicted by others. For you of all people know that such a life is our divine destiny. As you know, we talked about this numerous times when we were still with you, and we kept on telling you, we are certainly going to be attacked any time now. And sure enough, it happened, just like we said it would. So that's why I sent him to find out how your faith was holding up, because I, for my part, just couldn't stand it anymore. I was afraid the tester might have put you through the ringer and that all of our hard work might have been wasted. So now Timothy has returned to us from his visit with you. He told us the good news about your faith and love, how you always talk about us with fondness, and how you want to see us just as much as we want to see you. And so, dear friends, you have re-energized us. And your faith is what made it possible at the very time that others were inflicting us with unrelenting harassment and distress. So now we find ourselves truly alive if you will but keep on standing firm in the Lord. How are we supposed to find the words to thank God for you? Truly, when we come before our God in prayer, we are simply overwhelmed with elation because of you. Night and day, we plead as earnestly as possible that we might be allowed to see you in person so as to finish up the unfinished areas of your faith. Now, our very God and Father and our Lord Jesus, may he make a path straight and direct us to you. Yes, you. May the Lord make you rich, overflowing in love for each other and for all, as the love from us to you. Then will be shored up your hearts, without blame, wholly altogether, before God, the Father of us all, at the parousia of our Lord Jesus, with all his holy ones. Amen. And now, dear friends, to some other matters. We ask you, we implore you, in the Lord Jesus, put every ounce of strength you have, and then more, into living your life the way God has decreed. You received our teaching how you absolutely must pursue a style of life that pleases God, and you are making that effort right now. To be sure, you know the instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Here is God's will, your holiness, which means, in practical terms, that you are to stay clear of inappropriate sexual relationships. You should give careful thought to acquiring your own wife, marrying her in holiness and honor, not in the unmitigated lusts panted after by the Gentiles who don't know God. Nor are you to sin against or defraud those you call brother in this matter of marital relationships. As we told you before and warned you in no uncertain terms, the Lord will punish all such behavior. That is why we said that God didn't call us to a life of moral corruptness, but a life of holiness. So just keep this in mind. Those who reject our teaching on this aren't rejecting us. They are rejecting God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Oh, and as for the way you love and treat your fellow believers, you don't really need for us to write about this. Indeed, the way you show your love for the whole family of God throughout Macedonia makes it clear that you, without any question, are God-taught people, taught to love one another. But now, dear friends, go even further. We implore you to pull out all the stops in living the kind of life that God has decreed. Indeed, your aspirations should be clear. Live a quiet, reflective life, staying focused on your daily responsibilities and taking an active, hands-on approach to your business affairs. This is what we taught you. In this way, you will live your life in a manner that is proper, keeping in mind those non-believers who look on from the outside, and you'll not be under anyone's thumb because of financial need. And now, dear friends, about those among you who are dying. We want to make sure that you don't live in ignorance about this and that you don't live under the same cloud of hopeless grief as all the others around you. Think about it. If we believe that Jesus died and was raised, and we surely do, then we also believe that God will bring every last one of those who has died through Jesus along with him. Pay attention now, because we are telling you this by a direct revelation from the Lord. We who are alive, who are still around, left behind up to the very moment of the parousia of Kyrios, will in no way be even one step ahead of those who have already died. There will be a startling signal. Oh, yes, the chief of all angels piercing the sky with his orders, God's trumpet a-blaring. In that way, the one who himself is Kyrios will come down from heaven. The first thing that will happen, those who are dead in Christ will rise up from their sleep. After that, we who are still alive, who are awaiting, will be whisked away together with them, taken among the clouds, there to greet as a triumphant ruler in this awesome celestial assembly, the one called Kyrios. And from that moment on, we will always be in the presence of Kyrios. So now, encourage one another with these words. Now, a word about when all of this will take place. You already know this part so well that you don't really need us to write about it. The day of Kyrios will sneak up on you like a robber at night. Others around you might be saying, "We're protected. What can hurt us?" These people are already dead and don't know it. Their undoing will be as sure and sudden as the birth pains of a woman going into labor. But you are different from this, my friends. You don't live your lives in the dark, and there is no reason that this day should startle you like a robber. Indeed, all of you belong to the family of light. You belong to the family of day. We don't get our power from or live by the code of the night, carousing around in the dark. So let's not end up in a half-witted stupor, sleeping the day away like so many others. No, let's be completely alert, with our senses all intact. Ah, the night. That's when people are either sound asleep or carousing around getting drunk, but not us. No, we are people who belong to the day, and we need to be in complete control of ourselves, fully decked out in protective gear, including the body armor of faith and love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. Why? Because when it comes to us, God didn't put us here so he could find an excuse to punish us. No, he put us here so we could experience salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on our behalf, so that whether we are wide awake and watchful or we have been laid to rest with our dear departed, we all might live together with him. So now, as you have been doing all along, keep on encouraging one another. Spend time together, one-on-one, that you all might become strong together. And now, dear friends, we ask you to give honor to those who give of their time and efforts among you, who provide not only a compassionate concern for you when it comes to the Lord, but who also confront you with correction. Because of their continuing work, hold them in the highest esteem with love. Together, build a life of peace. And so now, dear friends, we encourage you to attend to the following matters. Light a fire under those who sit around and won't cooperate. Share your heart with those who have lost theirs. Offer a hand up to those who feel they can't hold on any longer. Be patient with everybody. See to it that no one retaliates with evil when someone else has given it first. Instead, always seek out what is good, a solution that benefits one and all. Always rejoice. Incessantly pray. In every situation, make it your practice to give thanks. If you want to know what God's will is for all of you in Christ Jesus, this is it. The Spirit, don't be quenching it. Prophecies, don't be rejecting them out of hand as worthless. In everything, make it your practice to use discernment. Keep a tight grip on what is good. Keep yourselves away from evil, no matter what form it takes. And now, the very God of peace, may he make you holy, completely and in every way. Yes, at the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ, may your whole person be preserved, every part of it.